Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk or a short flight on the B-1 bomber. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall, joining us live from Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Troy, how you doing?
Hey, Jason, I am doing wonderful, and it's a beautiful day here in Charleston.
Yes, it is. The boys are back in town after a three-week absence. He is back, Tough Talkin' Troy. We're going to have a great show about where you've been and what you've been doing. But today, Troy, it is all about veterans. We do a Veterans Day show every year, and I know you're excited about it.
I definitely am excited about it. As you know, I mean, my dad was a veteran, and
yes,
my nephew, Josh, yes, my dad served in World War II, and my nephew Josh just returned stateside from another 10-month overseas tour of duty, and he's got about another 11 months to go before he will have a choice to make whether he wants to career it or come out.
Well, I'll tell you what, Troy and I come on this air every Wednesday, and sometimes we say things that you agree with, sometimes we say things that you don't agree with. That First Amendment right, that freedom of speech that I believe many Americans take for granted, has always been earned by veterans, American veterans. And today on the show, we're going to be visiting with Major Lieutenant Colonel Select Tyrell Curry, who has an amazing story to tell about his service in the United States Air Force. And we're going to talk to him right after this. That is right, the United States Air Force, the most impactful institution in my life growing up outside Randolph Air Force Base in the Bexar County, Texas. Tyrell Curry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Troy and Jason, great to be with you today. Calling here from sunny Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida. Our studio audience is geeked up. I'm geeked up. Troy is geeked up. First question.
I'm always
tell us
geeked
about,
up. Yeah, there's,
yeah there's, you're always geeked. Yes, you are.
I'm sorry. Jason is uber geeked up. So I'll just
I
just want to be clear on that.
So you have no idea how geeked up I am. First of all, Troy, tell us about you. And let's go back in time before you joined the Air Force. Tell us about you and your life, where you're from, your life before you joined the Air Force.
Honestly, I come from a family that has some military history, a couple of uncles here in the Navy and the Army, but not really much of a military history to speak of out there. But, you know, growing up in my formative years, I knew instantly that I wanted to be in the Air Force. I had to be a pilot. It was one of those kind of doctor smacks you on the butt and the you know, I'm like, I've got to be a pilot. So it was born into me from the very beginning, a dream that I wanted to have, see accomplished. And so all my life, there really wasn't anything else that I ever wanted to be. And I grew up in a small town in Oregon. Then I moved to Oklahoma and went to a small high school in southeastern Oklahoma called Buffalo Valley High School, where there were 15 students in my graduating class. So, yeah, real small. And knew that I wanted to join the Air Force. I didn't have a lot of money for college, so the second best option was to enlist, which I did on my 16th birthday. And on June the 7th of 1988, I graduated high school at about 7 p.m. At 8:30, I got on a bus for San Antonio, Texas, and arrived at Lackland Air Force Base at 3 a.m. that following morning. So I had about 9 hours as a civilian before I had drill instructors screaming at me in the face.
Well, you know, what's really interesting about your story is my nephew, he wanted to always be in the Marines. That was his dream from the very beginning, and he actually made that particular choice happen. And what I find interesting a little bit about his story that I sort of correlated just briefly to the things you said had to deal with the concept of leadership and the opportunity to, as a leader, to see a vision and to actually then put actions in place to make that vision happen. And although you may have spoken about it a little bit kind of like it was, you know, a real quick boom, 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 in many cases what we find in leadership or in sales and marketing is that people forget to execute the plan. They have great plans, but they forget to execute them. The fact is that it appears that you have completely executed your leadership plan to be where you want it to
Absolutely.
Be and make that happen.
You're absolutely correct. You know, you always have to take into change and take it into account to your plan. And for me, obviously, the becoming an officer and becoming a pilot, those were the critical end goals. But to get there, I had to change my function and go enlisted so that I could get to college, get the money, and make a living to get to that goal. So that was a critical component, just maneuvering myself into the positions I needed to move into.
Yeah,
well, I'll tell you
what,
that's the most fascinating part of the story to me. You start out as an engine mechanic on the C-130. You're enlisted. You know, you and I served about the same time. I always tell people, when I served in the Gulf War, when the bullets were coming in and the Scud missiles were raining down, I thought to myself, there's got to be an easier way to make $812 a month.
Oh, so boy, yeah.
You're an enlisted guy. And then you served in Operation Just Cause, the invasion of Panama, to oust Noriega in 89. You serve in the Gulf War, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, 1990, 1991. How in
Correct.
The world do you go from there to piloting, being an officer, and flying one of the most sophisticated bombers and aircraft in the history of the American arsenal, the B-1 bomber?
You know, that's actually a really, an incredible story of not only just, you know, knowing what I wanted, but also a lot of doors being opened at the right time and really having, you know, there's always some luck, but you always kind of generate your own path, and luck just kind of is there to guide you a little bit. But, I went to Lackland in 1988, became an engine mechanic, and ended up at Dyess Air Force Base, which is the center, one of the two bases that the B-1 is at. And I'll never forget being on the flight line every day working on those engines and watching a B-1 take off and knowing I'm going to be that someday. I'm not going to be here forever. And that's kind of what drove me on as I was working from 7 p.m. until 7 a.m. and going straight from there to an 8 a.m. class from my university and then going from 8 until 1, running home, doing 2 hours of homework, getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep and doing it over and over and again for about a year and a half. I mean, it was that kind of when you desire something so bad, you're really willing to sacrifice anything to make that happen. And so fortunately, during that 6 years, even through the deployment, even through going, you know, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Panama, I also went to Africa for Operation Provide Hope. Even during all that, I was still able to get almost 2.5 years of college. and then was fortunate enough to get a scholarship at a little small school just 90 miles south of Abilene, Texas, called Angelo State University. And while I was there, I qualified for a pilot training spot in December of 1997, got my pilot spot and was selected to go to pilot training. I'm sorry, December of 96, and was selected to go to pilot training for January through June of 97, 98. So the amazing thing was when I finally graduated on the 10th of June, 1998, from pilot training, it was exactly 10 years and 2 days from the day I walked into basic training till the day I walked across a stage and my commander handed me the most coveted silver pair of wings you've ever seen in your life and made a dream a reality.
So let me ask you a question. You know, I know that you have had a lot of experiences with a lot of places you've seen and things of that nature, but if you don't mind, I'd like to drill back just to the leadership experience that you mm-hmm. had through the military. Can you just give some examples of some of that leadership experience, and what would be some of the things you would tell a leader today who is trying to run a business, and how would you maybe make some connections between what you learned in leadership through the military and you can actually bring it into the real world?
Absolutely. You know, the one thing that the United States military has is an absolute dedication to its vision, mission, and principles. Every single individual is committed to those. They are dedicated to those, and they're ready and willing to give their life for those. And while we don't necessarily have to give our life up for, say, GTE's strategic mission, that commitment is what is critical, that buy-in, that absolute dedication to your culture and to your belief in what you're doing. That's the critical component to success. Second only to that, in my opinion, is training. The reason why the United States Air Force is the number one military in the world and we are air superiority and air dominance is absolutely unquestioned is because we train 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we are the very best at it. So honestly, the big thing is the commitment to your vision and goals and then training and absolutely being the best and most competent and confident individual in your chosen field. Those are the critical components to being successful in any leadership position that you hold in the civilian world.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about how you transfer that military experience to the job that you're doing now as a branch, what most people consider a branch manager position. You call it a community financial center down at
Correct.
GT Financial in South Tampa. We're visiting with Major Lieutenant Colonel Select Tyrell Curry. We're talking about his amazing military career. When we get back from the break, we're going to ask him about a world record that he sent, 37 hours airborne in the B-1 bomber, and we'll do it all right after this.
You're listening to The Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
That is right. You are back on The Power Performance where the talk is hot, but the hosts are...
are hotter, much hotter. Oh, sorry, Mr. Military Guy, but we're smoking over here.
I've never seen. Hey, listen, Ty, I thought about this morning. Okay, folks, we broadcast live every Wednesday at 12 noon. Imagine getting into your car at 12 noon. 24 hours later, it's 12 noon Thursday. You still have 13 hours to sit in your car. Ty, you set a record, 37 hours airborne in a B-1 bomber. Now,
correct.
I'm sure a lot of people listening, number one, don't know what the B-1 bomber looks like. And I know a lot of people probably think that the B-1 bomber has seats with automatic massage points and flight attendants bringing you.
Boy, I wish. The B-1 is actually a supersonic bomber that was developed in the 1980s under the Carter administration and then actually kind of tanked for a while until Ronald Reagan brought it back as our nuclear deterrent against the Soviet Union. And for a long time, that's what really set the stage and kept the Soviets at bay, you know, was our strategic deterrent. But when the Cold War ended, and just as a side note, I was on the Berlin Wall there in 1992, dancing on the wall, celebrating the fall of communism, the B-1 suddenly had no mission. Well, we corrected that very quickly. We put conventional weapons on it and actually have now become the premier weapon for our long-duration capabilities. And in and our multiple weapons that we can carry anywhere from a 500-pound bomb to a 2,000-pound bomb. So we have quite a capability out there that's fairly unmatched. And the sortie that you're talking about, the 37-hour sortie that we did, occurred in August of 2006 when I was deployed to Diego Garcia, British Indian Ocean Territory, which is a tiny island. If you basically look at the point of India and then just drive south about, 2,000 miles, you'll find it there, this little 10-mile atoll.
Nice.
And so we took off that day. It was originally going to be about an 18-hour sortie flight, 6-hour flight up into Afghanistan, 6 hours in-country, one aerial refueling up there, one aerial refueling in-country, and one aerial refueling coming out. So it was about an 18-hour sortie total. We got up into country in 6 hours and then basically spent the next 25 hours assisting some Marines that were under fire, heavy fire from an IED that they had run into. And unfortunately, they were it was a very difficult situation. We spent quite a bit of time with those guys and made sure that those 40 gentlemen went home to their wives and children back in the States. And then shortly after that, we had our replacement ship that was supposed to come up from Diego to replace us. Unfortunately, maintenance canceled, so we were on station again for another troops in contact, pushing us out another another few hours, and then finally a six-hour flight home. And from takeoff time to landing time was actually 37 hours, and we received the Air Medal for that commendation. Now, the big thing for that is it wasn't just 37 hours. That's just flight time. You actually have about 5.5 hours pre-brief time and about 6 hours debrief time. So, yeah, it was almost four days that I didn't sleep. But it was a great, great mission, probably one of the most amazing things I've gotten to do in my Air Force career.
And when you think about your leadership office and it's in the cockpit, what's your favorite plane?
My favorite, honestly, the B-1 is my favorite because, you know, unlike the trainers that I flew, and I also flew the MQ-1 Predator and the MQ-9 Raptor, you have an entire crew that you're commanding and a commitment that you're going to not only bring the aircraft back safe, but every person that you command in that jet is coming back home safe with you. But the great thing about having a crew is that you all work together for a common goal. There's that teamwork, there's that trust, there's that belief in each other, that competency and that technical expertise that each of you bring to the table. And that's personally why I chose the B-1 over I had opportunities to train in the F-16, F-15, or the F-15E, a lot of different aircraft that I could have gone to that aren't crew-related. But for me, I feel most comfortable leading and inspiring my team to be the very best, and the B-1 was not only the fastest, supersonic, you know, amazingly sexy-looking aircraft, but she was also, you know, also very deadly and truly one of the premier weapon systems out there in the United States, in the world today.
I'll tell you what. I've had emails all morning.
I've had all morning about this show.
We have Troy and I have been doing this show for 3 years plus. This is the first show we've ever had where somebody has actually called in to listen to the show on a landline. We got somebody from Ohio listening in right now on a landline, and in that panoply of calls, I've had people talking about why would you talk about bombing people? Why, you know, these knuckleheads that don't understand that weapon systems are created for one reason, to eliminate the enemy, to be dominant, to be the best in what they do. Ty, I don't care about those kind of people. They have their right to be offended by this. You defended that right. I defended that right. Troy's nephew defends that right. My dad defended that right. What I want to ask you last is now, I don't know how you get in your car every day and drive to work. We know when you get in the cockpit of a B-1 bomber and then you have to get in a car and drive to work every day. Today, you are a mild-mannered superhero at the Tampa Bay South location of GTE Financial. How do you take that military experience of leadership and apply it to projecting your brand value each and every day at GTE Financial?
You know, I think that's a very valid point. You know, why are we talking about, you know, bombers and stuff like that, and how does this even relate to credit unions? And I do want to answer that. It's truly important because beyond being a bomber pilot and beyond being in a combat situation, the most important thing that I studied over the 25 years that I was in the military was leadership. Leadership in every form, from being an enlisted mechanic all the way up through being an aircraft commander to making life and death decisions. Those experiences, those life experiences, and that leadership that I got to put in practice and learn in the military transition directly and relate every single day to what we do here at GTE Financial. We have an amazing CEO who has put a culture in place where the member experience is truly, truly important. And the most important thing for me was to take his vision and bring it down to my level, to my CFC, to my branch, and say, how is that going to impact? How can we lead and impact our members' lives every day? And the way that we do that is through a motto that we developed, and that motto is, whose life am I going to change today? In the military, the lives that I changed every day were the people that I served, the United States citizenry. Every single person, those people stayed safe because I and my brothers and sisters in the military were on the front line making sure that they were safe. Here today, I make lives change by the way that I greet my members, by making first-time home buyers realize the dream of actually owning a home for the very first time. And when you have an impact on lives like that, when you have the experience of watching somebody walk into your center, you know, wondering if tomorrow's paycheck is going to be enough, to guiding them to financial literacy, that's impacting and changing a life. When I came out of the military, I truly struggled to find the passion that I had for flying, because I'll tell you, flying at 500 feet at 600 miles an hour is pretty thrilling. And to try to replace that was a very difficult process for me. And I have found that in what we do here at GTE, which is impact people's lives. And all around our credit unions, wherever you are, every single day you have that opportunity to impact somebody's life, to be a leader in that individual's life, and to change it. And I think that's what the most thrilling and exciting portion of this second half of my life really is.
Yeah, you know, you can hear that, and I certainly hope that the folks in your credit union tap into this leadership experience that you have. It really is. It's very important because it's very grounded, and the transformation that you can help create from that very intense training and experience you received in the military to here is important. One of the things that you said as we kind of wrap up this segment is that, you know, you talked about the training aspect, and it's about training every day. And when we talk about power performance, what we talk about is you being prepared every single day. You cannot just be happenstance when it comes to what your job is or what your interaction is or what your goals are going to be, what your future is going to be. It takes an engagement. And so what I hear from you in your leadership is that you as an employee are engaged. And that is the trend that we need to talk more about, is this employee engagement. But I think it stems from leadership experiences and from the fact, because everybody can be a leader. You don't have to just go in the military to be a leader. I mean, people are called to leadership all the time. So I just, thanks for, you know, making that connection and bringing that. Some of the things that you talked about was passion, and how important it is for people to have passion in what they're doing, for them
Absolutely.
To translate that passion to purpose so that purpose can do something. But realistically, I get this leadership because I speak on that leadership comment a lot. I know today normally we normally do a little more sales and marketing, but today was about leadership, and it was spot on for what our professionals need in order to make a difference and move forward. So thanks very much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Ty, this was one of the most – we love all of our guests. We Troy and I have been on the air for almost 3 years. We have over 77,000 archived and live listens to our show. We always bring to our audience real-life examples of how to best project your brand to the audience that is listening. And when I listen to your story today, I try to think about what it was like to be an aircraft mechanic, as an enlisted guy slaving away at, on 12-hour shifts up in, you know, North Texas near San Angelo, and then deciding, I want to fly these planes. I want to change the trajectory of my life and go someplace different. This has been one of the most amazing and most impactful interviews I've ever listened to. It happens very rarely, but there are times on the show where I find myself listening to the show as well as hosting it. Ty, I want to thank you on behalf of Troy and our audience for your service to this country, 23 years worth, and I want to wish you nothing but success in every single thing you do from now until the great beyond. Thank you so very much for joining us.
It's been my
honor.
It's been my honor and pleasure. Thank you very, very, very much.
All right, brother. I will talk to you soon. Thank you, Troy. Thank you, Ty. Thank you, Ty. We'll wrap it up after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use my voice. I'm a woman, man. No time to talk. You need love.
That is right. This is the Power Performance Veterans Day Special 2013, where the talk is hot, but the hosts are...
We've already told them they're hotter, but it's me. I'm the hottest, so they don't even worry about you anymore. You need to change the line.
Well, hey, listen, man, we've got a listener that called in from Ohio. I'm going to see if they're still with us. Hey, Ohio, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what did you think about that interview with Ty Curry?
I thought it was great. We're actually friends of Troy, and we're coming back to Walt Disney World to spend some time with him and
his lovely wife. You know Troy?
I do. I am very blessed, and feel like God is just what a wonderful person in both in my life and in my late mother's life.
Most people that know Troy would never admit to that, so that's awesome.
But it was a wonderful show. I'm actually a veteran myself. I served in the Navy for 5 years, so it was, and I commented to my husband, it was, we're driving, you know, I started enlisted because that was the place that you needed to start in order to kind of move up and make things happen. And I think the military is a great way to be able to pursue your education and to serve your country.
What years did you serve in the military?
I went in February of 1996 and got out February of 2001 as an E5 Petty Officer Second Class in the Hospital Corps.
Very cool.
So, but you guys do a great show, and, you know, I don't know you well, but I do have to agree that Troy's hotter.
That's
yeah. Yeah. Way to go, Tracy. That's good. Way to go. Love it.
Hey, hey, Tracy, just so you know, I have always agreed with the premise that my man Troy from Charleston, South Carolina is so much hotter.
I just want to let you know, I have a whole new line now. So when someone asked me, when they wanted me to go through the door, I went, oh, I see you want age before beauty. But guess what? You lose on both counts now.
Hey, listen, Tracy, on a serious note, as a Navy veteran, this is our Veterans Day special. On behalf of myself and Troy and the people that enjoy freedom, God bless you. Thank you for your service. And if you ever want to join us on this show, you are always welcome. Always welcome. Thank you. All right. Hottest of all time, Troy, we've got 1 minute left. What do you think about that interview?
I loved it, and I was just so glad that he was able to talk about the leadership experience that it is. You know, for me, it's near and dear to my heart, you know, for the things that I'm doing. And I think it's very valuable for people to listen to that. I think many times we forget how to translate and how to internalize experiences that we have in life and how they do become learning experiences. And I look at every experience as it's a leadership opportunity. It's just like I tell my grandkids all the time. I never ask them to be good. I ask them, are they going to be a good leader? I ask them, are you going to be a leader today?
Hey, we're going into bonus time right now. Just so you know, we're going to bonus time. Go on, man. Go on. We're going into bonus
time. Yeah. So what I ask them is, you know, are you going to be a leader today? And they say, yeah, Papa. And I say, what does that mean? And they tell me something that it means to them. And it's not about correcting behavior. And I really have this – I'd love to do some research on this, but it's just my theory right now. And it's basically that, you know, they can respond to this, and we can be growing leaders so much earlier in life because of the vernacular, the way we choose to say things, how we can impact their lives differently. And that is the difference that can be made in what we present to folks, is this opportunity to have a powerful performance. And it really comes by being authentic, and it comes from practicing, and it comes from making sure that you just keep working at it until you get it right.
Absolutely. Hey, Troy, listen, man. We've talked a lot on this show about the concept of teamwork and how teamwork and attention to details. I've done this show with Troy for almost 3 years. I have missed you. We've had great guest hosts for the past 3 weeks, but there's nothing like the pilot and co-pilot relationship that you and I have on this show. I just want to tell you, Troy, I'm so glad you're back. I cannot wait to have a show talking about what you've been doing for the past 3 weeks, because it is relevant to our marketplace that we broadcast to. And if you would please, on behalf of yourself and me and my family and all the listeners, tell your dad and your nephew that we honor their service now and always. Troy, it is so great to have you back.
Thanks, buddy, and I'll see you again next week.
Absolutely. Hey, folks, if it's Wednesday, it is the Power Performance, the only show left in the credit union marketplace that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Today we heard from Tyrell Curry, Major Tyrell Curry, Lieutenant Colonel Select, who told us an amazing story about perseverance and leadership, about seeing what you want and achieving it. As we get out of here today, I simply want to acknowledge some of my favorite veterans on the face of the earth. My dad, John Dias, enlisted in the Air Force in 1961, just like Ty, went to basic training at Lackland Air Force Base, as every Air Force enlisted and officer personnel has done. I want to thank my brother, John Christopher Dias, also United States Air Force, Lackland Air Force Base, 1987. My niece, Brittany Dias, who also went through United States Air Force basic training at Lackland Air Force Base. And every veteran, past and present, who has provided us with the ability to express our feelings, to express our opinions, to be the free people that we have always been in the great country that is the United States. For my part, I was the only guy dumb enough to actually jump out of a perfectly good airplane. You heard Ty's story today. He was a C-130 mechanic in his enlisted days. I jumped out of a C-130 at Fort Benning in 1986 and later at Fort Ord and Panama in 1987 and 1988. Folks, go out there and enjoy your life. Enjoy the freedom that America affords you. But I would ask you, this week, as we celebrate Veterans Day, to remember that freedom of purpose and freedom of opinion and freedom of movement has been purchased by young men and women that go out there and do things that the majority of you will never, ever do. Again, roll call, my favorite veterans, my homies, my buddies, my light fighters, from the 7th Infantry Division Light, Jimmy B., my roommate, James Benola from New Britain, Connecticut, Frank Mew, Paul Carrito, 1st Sergeant Gill, you are my hero, ladies and gentlemen, happy Veterans Day to you. From now till the end of time, our American flag flies high because of the veterans that you know and don't know. Tyrell Curry, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you've done. It has just been an amazing show. This is my favorite show every year. I do not celebrate my birthday. I could care less about when I was born. I was born again when I found my faith, and I was born again on the 5th of March, 1986, when I took the oath of office to enter into the United States Army at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. It has been a great show. It has been great sharing these stories with you. Until next week, this has been The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? God bless you, Tyrell Curry, you and your family. God bless you, all of our veterans, Navy, Army, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, past and present. We'll talk to you soon.